of the Thursday free-for-all on Beyond the Airways, the Infinity Project.
Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, or as I like to call it, Friday Eve, here at Beyond the Airways, the Infinity Project. And since it's Thursday, that means it's time for the Thursday free-for-all. That means we're going to have stories that'll make you laugh, think, cry, get upset. We'll fire off a rant rocket or six. And trust me, we've got several that belong with the supernova rant rocket tonight.
And unfortunately, one story doesn't belong with any rant rocket, right?
Yeah, there's actually a real nice story, but we'll get to that a little later. Anyway, I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Extreme. I'm currently joined on the line by two of my crazy cohorts. First, we have Red Ranger Tim. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, my dear.
We also have an AC musician on the line. Good evening to you, my dear.
Hola, everybody.
And we also have Sajo and Ashley in the chat room as well. Hey, Sajo. Hey, Ashley.
Hello, Sajo. Hi, Ashley.
All right. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I am mega tired.
Me too.
Well, I don't get tired before 10 or 11.
10 or 11 or 13 or 27?
My body tires when it wants to.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Now, I posted this story, like, back on the 10th. But let's put it this way. This is the headline. You wouldn't think you'd go to jail over medical bills. Well, guess what? A county in rural Kansas is jailing people over unpaid medical debt.
Oh.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the link in the chat. I'm going to do that first. But it's like, I learned that. It's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
All okay, right. What happens so now, if you get too sick to pay your medical bills? Then what?
That's a good question. Hopefully there's like part of the answer in this article. But I did read it first, but I can't remember all the details. However, I think it's time to fire the supernova rant rocket. So, shall we?
We shall.
Fire away!
Okay, now, this is interesting. This story was just updated today at 3:52 p.m. Eastern. So, who knows what
changes
we've got.
Maybe there's hope.
Maybe
there's hope.
Okay, so here's what's going on. There's at least one issue a divided electorate can come together on this election year. A recent poll finds 90% of those surveyed agreed on the importance of making health care more affordable. Millions of Americans remain uninsured. As CBS News correspondent Meg Oliver reports in the partnership with ProPublica, some people are even going to jail because they're squeezed by a system that's putting new demands on overburdened incomes. Trey and Heather Biggs' son Lane was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 5 years old. At the same time, Heather suffered seizures from Lyme disease. We had so many multiple health issues in our family at the same time, it put us in a bracket that made insurance unattainable, Heather Biggs said. It would have made no sense. We would have had to not have eaten, not had a home. Okay, now I got it. Trey Biggs was working two jobs, but they fell behind on the medical bills. Then the unthinkable happened. You wouldn't think you'd go to jail over medical bills, Trey Biggs said. Actually, he went to jail for failing to appear in court for unpaid medical bills. He described it as scary. I was scared to death, Trey Biggs said. I'm a country kid. I had to strip down, get hosed, and put a jumpsuit on. Bail was $500. He said they had maybe $50 to $100 at the time. In rural Coffeeville, Kansas, where the poverty rate is twice the national average, attorneys like Michael Hassenplug have built successful law practices representing medical providers to collect debt owed by their neighbors. Really?
I'm just doing my job.
Hassenplug. Yeah, I'm just doing my job, Hassenplug said. They want the money collected. I'm trying to do my job as best I can by following the law. The policy was put in place at Hassenplug's own recommendation to the local judge. The attorney uses that law by asking the court to direct The attorney uses that law by asking the court to direct people with unpaid medical bills to appear in court every 3 months and state they are too poor to pay in what is called a debtor's exam. If two hearings are missed, the judge issues an arrest warrant for contempt of court. Bail is set at $500. Hasn't Plug said he gets paid on what's collected. If the bail money is applied to the judgment, then he gets a portion of that, he said. Give me a second, I'll drink some water.
Now, wouldn't that be considered conflict of interest under any other circumstances?
I would think so. Anyway,
he's behind the law in the first place and encouraging it to be enforced for his own personal benefit, yes.
All right, so anyway, we're sending them to jail for contempt of court for failure to appear, Hassan Plug said. In most courts, bail money is returned when defendants appear in court. But in almost every case in Coffeyville, that money goes to pay attorneys like Hassan Plug and the medical debt his clients are owed. That raises serious constitutional concerns, said Nusrat Chowdhury, the deputy director of the ACLU. What's happening here is a jailhouse shakedown for cash that is the criminalization of private debt. CBS News went to court on debt collection day. They wouldn't allow our cameras in. But we watched more than 60 people swear they didn't have enough money to pay, and only one of them had an attorney representing them. Michael Hassenblog continues to operate. Now, there's an editor's note. This has been updated to more accurately characterize the policy that states how often people with unpaid medical bills appear in court. But still, that's ridiculous.
It is, because
I'm lucky
he's the one who suggests the law, and then he then is the one who's encouraging it to be enforced strictly, and guess who benefits from that? He does.
He does. Exactly.
It's all going into his pocket, and that's not right.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I wasn't in Coffeyville when I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
Broke my first bone.
Yeah. Now, here's the question.
Fact, if you ask me, he should be disbarred over it.
I think you're right.
He's
I agree.
He's not doing this to enforce the law. He's doing this to get rich off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. He's lining his own pockets at the expense of people.
Mm-hmm.
People
I agree
who
with
are
that.
Vulnerable. People who are vulnerable, who are poor, who are, at least some of them, are probably elderly and or disabled.
Yep.
And it all goes into his pocket.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they say some of the money does go to the medical practices or whatever that's owed money, but I bet more of that probably goes to his pocket than it's being let on.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally
agree with that, too.
He needs to be disbarred for that.
Yeah, but here's my question. I wonder, I would not be surprised if he's probably not the only lawyer doing this in the country, you know?
You're probably right about that, too.
Well,
yeah,
you know
probably
what?
Other shysters
what he
out there doing it, too.
What? You know what he reminds me of?
What?
A bipedal ambulance chaser. An ambulance chaser.
Okay.
Who goes after these people, you know. Oh, you got to pay this, you got to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you out if you pay this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But a little different.
Yeah. But honestly, that just makes my blood boil because, like, he's taking advantage of these poor people.
Right. People who the majority of them are probably below the poverty level.
Right.
I think it's
in most
hospitals.
And most hospitals and even medical practices that are in the same organization as a hospital, they get federal grants to help pay for the health care that people can't afford or that insurance does not cover.
Right.
Every human being has a right to live.
Yeah.
I have, I have state Medicare, Medicaid. So far, I've been lucky. Every doctor I have been referred to for my breast cancer has been covered.
Yeah.
I do not want to think how much my surgery cost on the 3rd. I do not even want to think about that.
But, oh, I know how that is. Because back in 2008, I had my catheter ablation. I had a situation where I had an extra valve in my heart that was causing my rapid heart rate. So I had that done. And what happened was I had to contact the insurance company. That was Aetna at the time. And the problem was Aetna, you see, Aetna and UAB did not get along, okay? But the problem was, at the time, there was not a specialist in Montgomery. I had to go to UAB to do the procedure. Now, the good news is they got in touch with them, and Aetna said, because it's a special circumstance, we can cover this one because there is no specialist in Montgomery.
Right.
Today there is, but thankfully I've not had to do it again.
Back in the day, back when you had your thing, I have been thoroughly blessed at the crew so far.
Mm-hmm.
I will let you know about Dr. Celine Samuel.
Yeah.
I will let you know about Dr. Sam.
One thing I will never forget is Dr. McEldry. He was the doctor who did the procedure. And I remember the morning I had to do it, I told him, "Doctor, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have never been through anything like this before." And he basically said, "Don't worry, we're going to give you the best drugs the FDA allows."
Yeah, that's a sign of a doctor with a good bedside manner. But anyway,
yeah.
back on the track.
No, I mean, we're still on the track. That's fine. I mean, because what I'm saying is, you know, the insurance covered it. If it didn't, that procedure was $40,000.
Ow. Well, I know that my injuries up until the breast cancer has been broken left ankle, broken right wrist, and the breast cancer. So far, I've been blessed with no broken bones.
Me too. I've been very fortunate. No broken bones for me either.
You remember when I fell back in the year 2018
yeah.
I was in the hospital?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you want to know how much just the hospital portion of my stay was?
About 10,000.
Yeah.
That sounds about average.
And that's not even counting.
That doesn't count the doctors or the food that I ate mm-hmm. while I was up there. That was just
yep.
the room and all that stuff.
Yeah.
$10,000.
Yeah.
If not for Medicaid, I would have been screwed.
I agree.
Same with me when I broke my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny. The same group of paramedics that helped me when I fractured my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Was the same bunch that came after me when I broke my wrist.
Mm.
So, but, you know, it's outrageous. And
yeah,
our commander-in-chief wants to do away with Obamacare when it's probably
mm-hmm.
about all anybody can afford.
Right. And what's going on is, it's like this. I actually had to be on Obamacare for 1 year because I didn't do enough hours at my job. Okay.
Right.
What happened was I looked at the prices. It to me there was like very, very little difference in the cost.
Right.
That was just me, because you know, for some people, it's the best thing they've ever had because hey, they can afford the insurance.
Right.
But for others, it's like, no, this is unsustainable. Why do they have it? Blah blah blah. You know what I mean? See, that's the problem.
Right. Yeah,
it's the same thing with food stamps.
Right.
You know, yeah, there are people out there that do game the system that don't
mm-hmm.
need to be on there, should be looking for work, doing work, making money. But two problems. Number one, he's approaching the problem as if everybody on it is abusing the system.
Right.
Number two, he's assuming everybody is capable of working. And
number three...
He's just cutting money from it for his own pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to know something? My mom would not game the system for nothing.
Right.
When my mom was raising two kids by herself on a waitress job.
Mm-hmm.
And she... It really irritated the piss out of her to see these people in line at a grocery store paying for prime rib, steaks, whatever, with food stamps, steak and lobster, And here she was, and here she was, refusing to use food stamps, and she got like a pound of hamburger, made it stretch for 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's good.
And there's a couple more things I want to add on too before I lose my train of thought.
Okay,
number four,
thank you.
Going back to my list, number four, most jobs nowadays don't pay enough to make ends meet. Some people can't even make ends meet with two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that need this, most of them already do work. Some of them overwork and still can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. My mom held down two waitress jobs. She'd go to work.
Go ahead. As far as you know, people buying prime rib and steaks and all that with food stamps. Maybe I'm a little unique in the sense because I've had to depend on them for a while now. I understand what the fuss is about. But I don't think they need to change it at all. And here's why. Okay, yeah, I get it. Things like steaks, prime ribs, and stuff are expensive. And the stuff that you get as a special treat once in a while. But here's the thing. You get a set allotment every month in food stamps.
Right.
If they want to blow all their month's worth on a steak, let them do it. They have only themselves to blame for not having anything afterwards.
Right.
I'm not saying that they deserve to go hungry. No. Mm-hmm. But you made the choice to buy the lobster. You made the choice to buy the prime rib.
We didn't.
The fact that you have a significantly less amount to make it through the rest of the month on is your problem.
Right.
Not my problem. Not the government's problem. Yours. You chose to blow your allotment on that fine stuff, and I'm sure you enjoyed every bite of it. But now you have to make whatever's left last until the end of the month. Good luck.
Exactly.
That's why I don't think they should be telling people what they can and cannot buy with food stamps. I understand the concern. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that restricting it is the answer. I think instead they should be taught to better...
How to budget. My mom...
Yeah,
when
how to budget their food stamps.
Well, my mom, she worked for the tips she got, as well as a small paycheck. And she had both of us to raise. And yes, she would budget every month. She told me she would have an envelope for rent, an envelope for food. And she had a household budget. And she would take the money when she got paid and put a little bit in each envelope so she'd have enough to pay.
Right.
You know?
That's smart.
Right. Some people don't know how to budget like that, though.
Me, thank God, I've never been on food stamps. But, you know, if – I hope it never happens. But if it should, you know I will not go for the steak. I will not go for the lobster. I will be going for the basics.
Yeah.
I go for roughly basics, too, and I make it through the end of the month. Sometimes just barely, but I do.
And you want to know something, though? What a lot of people could do on their budget? Find several different recipes for the same stuff.
That's true.
And you can make meals ahead of time. Put them in the freezer.
If there's a certain food that you eat a lot of, buy enough to make multiple meals worth out of it. Like, for example, a package of hot dogs. Depending on the brand you buy, you might get 8 or 10 wieners per package.
Right.
If you eat hot dogs 2 at a time, that's 4 or 5 meals right there. Out of just one package of hot dogs.
Right.
If you eat a lot of cereal, get the bigger box.
Right.
Yeah, try to get the family size box if you can.
Get the family size. you might be paying a dollar or two more, but you're getting maybe 1.5 to 2 times the meal's worth out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
stretch
I will give you an example of that.
You can.
I will give you an example of that. We like eating cereal, especially in the summer when it's too hot and heavy to eat eggs and bacon. But my folks, right now we've got 3 or 4 different types of. We have the little storage containers with the lids on them. And we put our cereal in that. And we get, and usually the bulk cereal you get at a place like Sam's Club comes like 2 big boxes to a package.
Right.
And that lasts us a while.
Yeah. See, now the only thing is, for someone like me, you know, I've got gluten and dairy intolerance. So
in your case, it's okay to buy out of the smaller size out of the grocery store.
Right.
We understand that.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, gluten-free and dairy-free stuff is really more expensive than you think. So it's like, you know, the good news is, I mean, Walmart alone, they've got my peanut butter Chex for like $3 a box. It's the family size box. And that's a better deal than what they've got at the commissary, because the commissary has like a 12-ounce box for $3.13, where at Walmart, they got the 20-ounce box for $3.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, so that's why I'm going bigger. I ain't going with a small one. Forget it.
Okay. Next article.
Right. Okay. Next, I think we need to do this one as an extreme. Well, let's see. I'm going to do this one next because this kind of actually makes sense. So what happened last week, Taco Bell in Fairlawn, Ohio, closed the dining room and posted a note about unreliable employees after workers skip shifts.
Oh, my.
I feel like the manager did the right thing here.
Hey, Shirley.
Yeah.
What about this? To the manager.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Round of applause. Let me go find the applause real quick. Sorry. And VorpalBite 3 has joined the chat room. I know he's one of the good ones, so I'm not worried.
Hey, VorpalBite. But anyway, carry on.
All right. So anyway, let me see. Let me make sure I put the... There we go. All right. So here's what happened. This was on February 10th. Fairlawn, Ohio. A Fairlawn Taco Bell was forced to close its dining room this weekend after some of its employees didn't show up for work. A note was posted in the window stating that the closure happened because some of the store's workers didn't show up. So, this is the actual note. I'm going to read it verbatim. Dining room is closed until store's workers can show up to work on time. We will happily serve you through the drive-thru as quickly as possible. We're very sorry for the inconvenience. Please bear with us until we find the right team to best serve our community.
Okay. Can't say that. Kudos.
All right. Yep. As it states in the note, the store does not turn away customers when it asks them to use the drive-thru window. Well, all right. Well, the dining room did reopen Monday, but I didn't get any more updates, so I don't know if he got a better staff or. I'm glad he
I'm glad he did it too.
Yeah, I'm glad he did because, you know, it's like, you know, I go to work. I haven't gone to my job for 22 years. I have been late maybe 3 or 4 times total in 22 years.
And a couple of those tardies weren't your fault. It was, traffic.
Yeah. But the good news is, when I found out now, I think it was last week. Yeah, there had been an accident on 85 southbound, and I looked at. Okay, go ahead.
But I went down. I found out there was having an accident on I-85 southbound. It's like, uh-oh, that's my route to work. What should I do? It's like, okay, I'm going to take an alternate route. So I went through, almost went to the downtown area, made it to Fairview Avenue, got on the interstate, and I made it to work with plenty of time to spare. So it's like, good.
Yeah, but even if you would have been a little late.
The problem is you get points for it now. So it's like they don't accept the if it affects 20% of the workforce in the plant, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Stopped. But it's only like 1 point, so it's nothing.
But
you
only right.
Yeah, because I try to be careful. I do not like being late. Plain and simple.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh boy, this is gonna be a good one because there's a lot to choose from here. So, let's see. I could do. Oh yeah, the happiest place on Earth is now becoming one of the most expensive places on Earth.
It hasn't been that long since they jacked up the fucking prices.
Yeah, so yep, Disney is at it again.
I think I know why they did it. They got to pay for Disney Plus, they got to figure out some way to support that new.
Well, I know,
not
necessarily. The Disney Plus that's courtesy of all of us. But, yeah, this is a quickie because this was updated yesterday. The most magical place on Earth is getting more expensive to get into. The Tampa Bay Times reports that back on Tuesday, ticket prices increased at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and Disneyland in Anaheim, California. All right.
Okay, carry on.
Hold on. I think Tim's coming back.
Jeffrey told me that even with his military discount, he took his girls to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And he said it was expensive to take his three girls.
I believe it. All right.
I can't remember
anyway.
He did it before or after he got back. Before he went to Afghanistan or after he got back.
Let's see. Yeah, Tim, I was just talking about the fact Disney World is raising its prices again.
I read about that.
Yeah. So, an annual pass into the parks, which comes with tons of perks like discounts on products sold in the parks, food discounts, and free parking, will be more expensive for pass holders that don't live in Florida or California. Out-of-state pass holders will pay 6.2% more at $1,295. The passes were previously $1,219. Good grief. Makes me glad I don't go to Disney World very often. Now,
I've never been there, and at this rate, I probably never will.
Yeah. I mean, Jen and I, we got lucky about the Epcot when we could.
Yeah. And we were blessed that they let us bring in 6 bottles of water apiece.
Yeah, because at the time...
You know how much they wanted for a 12-ounce bottle of water, Tim?
How much?
$4 for a dinky little 12-ounce bottle of water.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they can get away with it because we are stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the time we went, the recession was going on too, so they let us bring in water.
Uh-huh.
So. But anyway, one-day admission tickets during the Tier 5 season, which is considered the park's former peak season, are $5 or $10 more expensive depending on the type of ticket bought. So it's like,
okay.
Oh, God. I'm glad we went that one time, but I ain't going back if it's going to cost that much. You know? It's not worth it.
I agree.
Me either.
Okay,
they want you to go to these places and have a good time, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they should make them more affordable, especially... Okay, now let's just say I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 3 or 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know how expensive it would be to take that 3 or 4 kids to Disneyland?
Oh,
Disney
yeah.
I believe it. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's per person.
Yeah, I take the kids. let's say my kids were 5, 7, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they would probably get a good discount because they were under the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let me check something.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I've got this interesting story that I think iShine had posted. Yeah, she had posted this one. And it's so appropriate for tomorrow. Zoo will name a rat after your ex and feed it to a snake on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my.
It's like, I like that one.
Oh, shit.
I like that one.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Oh, my.
All right, so. For some, Valentine's Day can be an unwelcome reminder of their singledom, when stores suddenly fill with roses, chocolates, and cards, and they have no one to go home to but Netflix and, if they're lucky, a pizza. However, one zoo is now offering to take the edge off of the pain the holiday causes for bitter singles by offering them the chance to name a rat or cockroach after their ex and have it fed to a snake
a
on the big dish. Yeah. It really is poetry in motion.
Oh, my.
The zoo in question is the San Antonio Zoo.
Okay.
They've made the exciting opportunity known in a Facebook post, which read, "This Valentine's Day, we are hosting the first ever Cry Me a Cockroach event. You can name a live cockroach, and we'll serve it up as a snack to one of our animals. If your ex was a snake, you could even name a rat, and we'll feed it to a reptile."
Oh, okay, Shirley.
Uh-huh.
These are for... prices per day, per ticket, ages 10 plus.
Okay.
Okay. One day passes vary by date.
Uh-huh.
2 day passes is from $117.50. 3 days, $103.34, includes one magic morning, which means the magic morning gets you into the park early.
Okay.
Okay, $103.34 per day for 3 days, $85 for 4 days, including one magic morning, and 5 days from $72 includes one magic morning. That's per person. Okay, say you wanted to do a 4 day,
mm-hmm.
and there was 10 of you in the party.
Ooh, that'd get expensive.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, here it is. It costs $5 to have a cockroach named after your ex, but if you really, really hate them and want to see them get slowly devoured in rat form, that will set you back $25. Still a bargain, in our opinion. At this point, it's worth noting that even if you're not in the vicinity of the San Antonio Zoo, you can still see your ex's animal names that get eaten on Valentine's Day as the event is being live-streamed.
Oh!
Oh.
Are they doing that on live-stream, Shirley?
Yeah, they will tomorrow.
On live stream. That's that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like YouTube or something. They'll probably check the San Antonio Zoo's website and they'd probably find out. But anyway, if this sounds like the only thing you need this Valentine's Day, then you can name a rat after your ex here. However, don't worry if this isn't up your street either. There are a lot of more pleasant Valentine's activities to offer on February 2. Like, there's actually a restaurant for lonely dogs.
Oh!
Oh!
I just fell in love with that one.
Let me see. Well, I want to know where this is. Where is it? I got to find out. Let's see. Let's see. There it is. The Wolftastic event is taking place on February 15th, just so the dogless humans can get in some special time with the significant others, at the M Restaurant in Victoria, London.
Oh.
Ooh. Yep, Lady and the Tramp for the modern age.
Yeah.
I think
all
that's
I know
cute.
Is, you know, oh, I went to Walmart yesterday. And I went into, I got a lady I know that works at the FedEx shop in Walmart, and I went in. And there was this guy with his dog on a leash. Regulars in there, Debbie knows him. But he just looked up at me and started wagging his little old tail. He flopped over on his back for me to give him a belly rub.
Aw.
So I gave him a little belly rub. The owner said he loves people.
He loves people. Ah! I'm kidding.
No, in this case, this little guy, he didn't flinch away from me at all, and he was so adorable.
Oh, okay. Okay, now remember last night I said this is a story about Tennessee Republicans think tampons need to be taxed to limit women from buying too many? Well, Janet, I actually did some looking up on Snopes. This story is real. It's not false.
It is?
Yes, this is real. Now, ladies, let me explain this. They have something called a tampon tax. It's not an extra tax. It's just it's taxed like or anything else. Like here in Montgomery, it's 10% tax. So if I were to buy... If I were to buy the Stay Free pads, I get it's like $4.64. I'd have to pay that 10-cent tax too.
Okay, I misunderstood that.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, I just did some looking, and it said it's true. In fact, 31 states have it. I checked.
Is Arizona one of them?
I don't know. I'll have to double check to make sure. Let me double check on that. All right, so. So, yes, this is the one I said last night, and this is the one that also requires a supernova rant rocket. Because, obviously,
hey.
Some people do not have a damn clue about how women work. So, everybody, take cover again.
Surely I haven't come out of the shelter yet.
Well, in that case, you're safe. Good, you're all safe. All right, anyway, Republican lawmakers in Tennessee are raising objections to a proposal that would add feminine hygiene products to the list of items that can be purchased during the state's annual sales tax holiday, the Associated Press reported. According to the AP, the GOP lawmakers worried that women would abuse the law and purchase too many feminine hygiene products during the pause on state sales tax on some items, including computers and clothing. The pause lasts only one weekend, starting on the last Friday of July, the AP reported. I would think since it's a sales tax holiday, there's really no limit to the number of items anybody can purchase, Republican State Senator Joey Hensley said during a debate on the proposal on Tuesday, according to the AP. I don't know how you would limit the number of items someone could purchase. Eliminating the so-called tampon tax has been a growing movement in states across the country. Advocates argue that feminine hygiene products are a basic necessity that should be added to a list of necessities that aren't subjected to taxes, such as groceries and medicine. According to Period Equity, a group fighting to eliminate the tampon tax, feminine hygiene products are taxed in 31 states, including Tennessee. Allison Wilson, a legislative assistant for Hensley, said the concern was over how much adding feminine hygiene products to the list of tax-free items would cost the state. Every bill has to receive funding to be implemented, and it is up to the sponsor to find those funds, Wilson said in an email. His questions were directed toward that cost and the plans to fund this legislation. He was concerned that the possibility of people purchasing large quantities had not been factored when determining the cost of the legislation. The average woman can expect to spend over $1,000 on menstrual products over the course of a lifetime. I'm not so sure about that one. According to a report from Obstetrics and Gynecology, more than 1 in 5 women report they can't afford to buy the products every month. Thankfully, I stock up.
Yeah. And that's not right, because, like, okay, Shirley, you have heavy days, right?
Yes.
I had them. You don't know how embarrassing it was to start your miseries in school. Like a big old spot on your seat. So
well,
that
I
is
actually,
not a right thing
well,
to...
Actually, that is, well, I actually had that happen to me one time in junior high school. Because it started suddenly on me out of the blue during school.
Uh-huh. Same
okay.
here.
Okay, now I'm looking at this... I'm looking at this state scoreboard here on this periodequity.org website. 19 states are tax-free. 31 are still not tax-free. I'm sorry, Janet. You and I are in the not tax-free side.
Oh, well.
Oh,
makes me glad I went through menopause several years, a long time ago.
TMI.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, people.
That's okay. But what's Yeah, but what the deal is, it's like, it's basically me. It doesn't bother me really about this, because it's like, you know, it's a necessity when I need to go get it. It's like, I don't, and you know, as much as I do not like the idea of using tampons, because when I was a child, in the Girl Scouts, they had this little seminar, and you know, I didn't know about this thing called toxic shock syndrome, which can happen. So it's like, okay, I'm never wearing tampons.
Yeah, my mom wouldn't let me wear them either. So that didn't bother me much.
Let me see. I think Sandra asked, what about New York? Goods. New York is in the tax-free area. NY is tax-free on those products. So, all right. Now, here's another one I think is probably requiring of a supernova rant rocket. And let's see. Catholic priest says pedophilia doesn't kill anyone, but bans 44 lawmakers from receiving communion because he says abortion does.
Yeah, that's definitely a supernova.
Uh-huh.
Fire away.
All right, let me put the link in here.
Hold it. Let me close the hatch.
Okay. Close the hatch. I'm going to fire again. So.
Hatch closed.
All right.
Hatch closed.
Fire.
Fire away.
Okay. So, a priest in Rhode Island, Reverend Richard Bucci, made national headlines last week by banning lawmakers who supported the state's abortion rights bill from receiving communion at his parish. Now he is doubling down on that decision with a statement that's sending shockwaves through social media. The 72-year-old priest recently passed out flyers to parishioners listing the names of all 44 members of the legislature who voted for the Reproductive Privacy Act, which was signed into law last spring. The flyer stated that those individuals would also be banned from acting as witnesses to marriage, serving as godparents, and performing readings at weddings and funerals, citing 2,000 years of Catholic teachings. All right. Then in an interview on Sunday, his rhetoric went further. Pedophilia doesn't kill anyone, and this does, he told local station WJAR, claiming that more children have been killed by abortion than have been abused. This statement didn't sit well with State Representative Carol Hagan McEntee, a Democrat who championed Rhode Island's law to extend the statute of limitations for child sex abuse survivors. When he says that pedophilia doesn't kill people, well, he clearly doesn't understand, she told CBS News. You should have come to the State House and listened to the testimonies, because there are a lot of victims who are no longer with us. The injured voices that I heard, they've stolen their childhoods. They practically destroyed their lives. And the ones we still hear from are the lucky ones, because they're the ones who are still alive. They didn't die of an overdose or suicide. You know, there's plenty of those that never made it long enough to come forward. Our colleague, State Representative Billy Casimiro, whose name was also published in the flyer, agrees. The Catholic Church needs to take a look at themselves and ask why they are closing churches and losing worshipers, Casimiro wrote in a statement to CBS News. Could it be because Father Bucci's most recent statement was that no one has ever died from pedophilia? Father Bucci and the diocese need to take a look from within. They need to get their own house in order. The Pope should make a visit to Rhode Island. Pardon me for a second. I have to drink water. My mouth dries out fast. Anyway, CBS News. What?
You have all these pedophile priests that just get shuffled from one parish to another.
Yeah. Let's see. Anyway, CBS News has reached out to the Diocese of Providence for comment, but has not yet heard back. In the immediate aftermath of distributing the flyer, Bucci told the Providence Journal that local lawmakers were upset because their names and votes were made public. If they are proud of what they have done, why do they want to keep it a secret? The issue, however, is not that the votes were made public. In fact, one Democratic state representative called that laughable because their votes on every issue are already listed on the General Assembly's website as soon as they are tallied. Rather, for some, it's about the separation of church and state.
I agree.
And because somebody tweeted this, they have a problem with the lack of respect for the separation of church and state, and for our votes on behalf of our constituents being punished by a church who protected child abusers. For others, it has to do with the Catholic Church's handling of its own pedophilia scandal and the hypocrisy they perceive in the discrepancy. Megan T. has had a long and fraught relationship with Sacred Heart Church in West Warwick, Rhode Island, where Booth T. now resides. She and her older sister, Ann Hagen Webb, attended Sacred Heart School from kindergarten through the 8th grade, and Ann alleges that she was repeatedly sexually molested by a priest there, who was now deceased, for approximately 7 years, beginning when she was just 5 years old. Megan T. tells CBS News that she believes Bucci's letter is less a response to the Reproductive Privacy Act than it is a reaction to her work with child sex abuse survivors. I just think it's concerning that this is the church that is taking issue with this out of all the churches in Rhode Island, she told CBS News. Personally, I feel this is a continued attack by him on me and my family because of what happened to my sister, and he's come up with this latest way. Her colleague Julie Casimiro points to the time lag between the final vote on the bill last June and Father Bucci's letter in January as proof of that point. Father Bucci would love to have you all think this is about the codification of Roe v. Wade, she wrote to CBS News. If it was, why wasn't the list published last year when we took the vote? Why did only a few lawmakers receive the mailing at home? This is retribution to the Hagen-McEntee family for shining the light on sexual assault within the Catholic Church and Sacred Heart in particular. In a fiery Facebook post after the flyer was made public, Casimiro went a step further, suggesting that the General Assembly should respond to Father Bucci's list of lawmakers not welcome in his parish by posting a list of pedophile priests not welcome at the State House. That is a much longer list. Ooh. And that's the end of the article.
Whoa. All I know is you've been hearing it a lot lately. Mm-hmm. All the Catholic Church does is say, oh, we'll just take you and send you to a New York priest, pedophile priest gets sent to Boston.
Yeah.
Or a Boston pedophile priest gets sent to a parish in California.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Before we go on, we have some words of wisdom for everybody. As you get older, you've got to stay positive. For example, the other day I fell down the stairs. Instead of getting upset, I just thought, wow, that's the fastest I've moved in years.
That's when we look at it.
as shared by me on my Facebook wall.
Cool.
Just made me laugh.
Yep.
That was the idea.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I think we've got the last one of the night here, and this one's going to be a real feel-good story. Let's put it this way. Dolly didn't win at Westminster, but her owner doesn't care. She helped him beat cancer.
Oh, yeah.
It's like she didn't win. She didn't get best in show, but she already won.
Yeah. You know what? People do not give dogs credit. Give animals credit.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling that our dogs are going to be hanging around Jack a lot when he stays home.
Yeah. But anyway, this is out of New York. Nestled in the benching area of the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, barely noticeable in a sea of handlers, hounds, and spectators, one family was having a moment. Dolly, an indomitable 2-year-old Pembroke Welsh Corgi, had failed to earn a ribbon in a competition meant to highlight the very best of her breed. With the first time showing on the country's grandest stage all but over, Dolly returned to her crate on the bench. For a few moments, she sat alone in the dark, seemingly destined to be a Westminster footnote. Then Sean Sullivan reopened the gate. The dog's owner beamed as his prized corgi reemerged, the one he credits with helping overcome his illness. Sullivan was unfazed by Dolly's results. "There's so much more to her than walking around a ring. Oh my God," he exclaimed. Sullivan of New Jersey said that even though his cancer diagnosis came out of the blue 2 years ago, Dolly had long sensed something was wrong. When Sullivan turned lethargic in 2018, the dog was reluctant to leave his side. If he went upstairs, Dolly was right behind him. And if Sullivan napped, Dolly slept too. When he became too sick to travel and was forced to work from home, the dog spent hours nestled by his feet. The illness was identified soon after. Sullivan had stage 2 colorectal cancer, and the road to recovery would be arduous. 6 months of chemotherapy, 28 radiation treatments, and 2 surgeries. The 58-year-old recalled that his doctors urged him to keep a positive mental attitude. Enter Dolly. An already successful show dog, the 2-year-old Corgi was rapidly progressing toward American Kennel Club Grand Champion status before Sullivan was diagnosed. With Dolly's primary handler at the time, Sullivan's wife Anne, sidelined at home, taking care of her husband, a helping hand stepped in and offered to show the dog on the family's behalf. Sue King kept the couple in the loop as Dolly nabbed wins across the country and rose in AKC status, granting Sean Sullivan a distraction from his intense treatment. Every win from the road, every woman, we could just take our mind off cancer, Anne Sullivan said, cheering up as she looked at her husband inside Pier 94 in Manhattan, where all the breed judging events were held. It put us on a different plane. When you're going through cancer, fighting it, and trying to stay positive, everything helps. Dolly is one of 2,500 dogs representing 204 breeds, 49 states, and 19 countries at the Westminster competition. The spectators here are eager to see who wins the coveted Best in Show. Many fans are unaware of how the dog's abilities translate beyond the arena in ways that can't be captured by awards and accolades. Dolly, for example, could tell Sean was sick before he recognized his symptoms, the Sullivans say. Like all performance dogs, Dolly is conditioned to read and react to even the most subtle nonverbal cues during shows. The animals, having experienced dozens of competitions with their handlers, are often more in tune with their owner's emotions than our other pets, Westminster Kennel Club spokeswoman Gail Miller-Bisher said. Sometimes a show dog's full capabilities become apparent only after its performing days are over. Such was true for Burns, perhaps the most successful long-haired dachshund in history, who retired from the competition life last year after winning Best Hound at Westminster. Although he fell short of Best in Show, causing a stir among spectators who believed he was snubbed for the grand prize, Burns took on a new role less than 4 months later after his retirement. Therapy dog! For Burns, who lives in Sulphur, Louisiana, long trips to performance venues gave way to visits to hospitals and nursing homes. Stadiums packed with thousands are now libraries filled with dozens of children eager to read to him. And rather than trotting laps around the ring to win over a judge, Burns' only job now is to provide comfort to the young, elderly, and sick, according to Kim Vidrine, the dog's owner. And by all accounts, Burns' latest venture is going as well as his last gig. Burns passed 3 tests to be certified in therapy that gauged how well he handled crowds and noises in various settings. Vidrine said Burns aced each of his tests with 0 preparation, which he credits to his 3 years of performing. It made him a natural. He's very patient and calm. It's like he's been training for this his whole life, Vidrine said. I saw the impact he made on the public, so I wanted to do something positive with that. Burns' story underscores what handlers say is another underrated trait about show dogs, their capacity to easily take on service-related roles. Their hyper-specific breeding takes temperament into account, and they tend to be socialized from birth, making them ideal to work in chaotic settings. They're not sound-sensitive, they're not unstable, they're not fazed by things, Fisher said, recalling how Burns flourished last year while performing at Madison Square Garden. They're not going to startle, they've heard it all at this point. In telling Dolly's story, Sean Sullivan said he hopes people will look beyond her beauty. Even though the 6'7" man towers over his pet, he can't help but smile softly when talking about the dog he views as the secret weapon that helped him beat cancer. Sullivan has been in remission for 5 months. In March, as Sullivan was enduring a difficult 3-week hospital stay, King called him with incredible news. Dolly had completed the last step needed for her to finish her championship. I said, "Your bitch is now a champion," King recalled, using the show term for female dogs. Sullivan was discharged a few days later, and he credits that call with helping him turn a corner. I've had the privilege of showing a lot of dogs and bitches, but that day to call them and tell that news was a highlight for me, King said. It really helped Sean along. Sullivan said he now feels like $1 million. He and his wife were at Pier 94 Sunday morning as King showed Dolly in the best of breed competition. Dolly held her own among the other corgis in her group and displayed a clear bond with King, and even though her work didn't result in any awards, King said she had no complaints about the dog's performance. Out of her crate and on the bench after her showing, Dolly eagerly greeted her owners and handler with kisses. The results of Sunday's contest never mattered. She's still a champion in my eyes, Sullivan said. A grand champion. And that's the end. Just goes to show you, people think, oh, it's just a dog. Wrong. They're not just pets. They're our friends. They're our family.
They are.
And believe me, I still miss Chester. It's been almost 4 years now since we had to put him down. So, never easy, but... Yeah, because what happened was he had suffered a stroke on a Friday, and we knew he'd never get past the weekend. So, we had to put him down. But it's amazing. But it is amazing how a dog, you know, a dog can, you know, a dog can change someone's life. A pet can change someone's life. Any animal. It could be. I guess my friend Misty Corrales up in Birmingham. She's a cat lover. You know, she fosters cats. You know, and cats. You know, cats can make a difference for some people. And it could be dogs, cats, birds, iguanas, hamsters, guinea pigs. You know, a companion, you know, a companion, a four-legged companion. That's all it takes. And that's always a good thing. So, you know, kudos to these people who can, you know, they can have show dogs, but they also become good therapy dogs later on. That's always a good thing. Here's me. Well, I am so happy tomorrow's Friday. And then, of course, Monday, we don't have to, we've got no show because it's a holiday. And I actually, for the first, and, like, and this is so strange, for the first time ever at my job, I don't have to work Monday.
Nice.
Yeah. Because we have never had President's Day off. Never. So. Which is a perfect opportunity for Mom and Eve to travel to Atlanta to stock up on some noodles and other food supplies.
Oh, yes.
Because the truth of the matter is Atlanta's got a much cheaper food tax. Atlanta's got a cheaper sales tax than Montgomery does. Atlanta thinks like 2 cents, and where Montgomery's 10. So... And maybe... And, you know, the thing is, maybe, just maybe... We may have a shot at getting a lottery here in this state, in Alabama, for real. It'd be wonderful if we get one, because frankly, I think most people are tired of having our money go to other states that have lotteries. So, yeah, but anyway, we are running out of time. We're down to about 2 minutes, 9 seconds, so I'm just going to say this. Tomorrow, it's going to be an all-fun night. 90 minutes. Very naughty Valentine's Day Mad Libs. I mean, we are going to turn it on its ear.
We are
going to get nasty. We are going to get nasty. We're going to get dirty. These are going to be NC-17. So whatever you do, do not have the kids listen to this tomorrow night, okay? These are not family friendly, okay? I will put that straight up right now. It's not family friendly. So, do not have the kids listen to this, okay? Because like I said, our show's uncensored. And we're going to keep it that way. If you don't like it, don't listen.
That's right.
All right, so anyway, I'll go ahead and wrap this up by saying this. Please remember to follow us on Facebook or have our group page. Follow us on Twitter. Our handle is BTA_TIP. And follow us at our website, beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, there are 3 ways to catch up. First, there's the Stitcher.com app. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search on the podcast for Beyond the Airwaves, and you'll find many of our episodes there. So with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night, sleep well, stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow for the 90-minute Valentine's Day Naughty Mad Libs.
That was a good show. It was all real good, too, didn't it?
that is all for tonight. Everybody have a great night, and remember...
You... I almost had him. I had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
Shut up!
And, of course, this...
I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Groot.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
Oh, shit!
We missed the little rant, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, somebody
let's
somebody
see.
Get that twig.
Yeah. And then
okay,
I'm going
to
end...
You have to face Baby Groot's daddy. Big Groot.
Yeah.
I'll take him out, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to end it on a funny note.
Alert! Alert! Evil Martian Flingos have invaded supermarkets across the planet. They have come to steal Earth's ammonia.
Shut up!
Had to get that in there. All right. That's it for tonight. So have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Night, y'all.
I'll catch up with
Jenna.
You in a little bit, Shirley. Jonna.
All right. Buenas noches, mis amigos.
Good night, everybody.
Land.